It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, it's this week's edition of Wisconsin Life.
First, yesterday marked 1 year since 18-year-old Michael Brown was killed by white police officer Darren Wilson in Ferguson, Missouri. Following his death, demonstrations began in Ferguson and spread around the country, aimed at addressing issues of policing practices, criminal justice, and racism.
In the years since Brown's death, news of several other unarmed black men killed by white police officers has occupied headlines, from Eric Garner in New York City to Tony Robinson here in Wisconsin.
This weekend, Michael Brown was memorialized in Ferguson with peaceful demonstrations and a concert. Last night, however, some violence did break out close to demonstrators. Here with us now to talk about the events of the past weekend is Duri Buscarin, reporter at St. Louis Public Radio. Duri, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, what was the atmosphere like at this weekend's events memorializing Michael Brown?
The overall sort of feeling of the weekend was one of peace, one of retrospection. There's a lot of anger and tension over the fact that things aren't moving as quickly as a lot of people would like to see. But, most of these events went off without a hitch. On Sunday, there was a march led by the father of Michael Brown through the Canfield Green apartment area near the scene of the shooting. And a concert with some actually really major rap artists later that night in St. Louis.
And who took part in the memorializations, the demonstrations that there were this weekend?
Well, I think that a lot of people came in from out of town. There's been a very a core group of demonstrators who are regularly at these protests. But some of the protest leaders that have gone on to other cities, including DeRay McKesson and Jonetta Elvey, returned to St. Louis for the events.
And how have the demonstrations and their messages changed in the year since Michael Brown was killed?
I think that they're actually still very much the same. I think that it's expanded to include all these other officer-involved shootings that we've had in the past. I know that the Sandra Bland case was, caused a lot of anger among people and worries, really. And I think that as things go along, it's kind of evolved into a discussion of best practices for policing and really the depth of racial disparities in this country and the challenges to address them.
Now, you said that there was some frustration that things hadn't progressed further than they have in the year that's gone by. Have you talked to people and heard what they're saying about what they'd like to be moving faster and what areas they think are still problematic?
That's a good question. I think that a lot of residents in Ferguson see that the community has really come back together, but they see a lot of the same people in the city offices, and they see, there was a new election, and so a couple community members did, replace other people on the city council, but there's a Ferguson commission that's been having meetings and talking about how to sort of correct these historic issues, but they're sort of limited in their power of what they can do, and I think that there's some tension around that.
And Ferguson itself, how has that changed, particularly when it comes to law enforcement and the way that it interacts with the community that it serves?
Well, there's definitely a new focus on community-based policing. I know that a lot of police departments have done this, but there's definitely a renewed focus. The idea of that is that a police officer shouldn't meet you for the first time when you're a suspect or when you're a victim. And it's kind of having them be in the community, getting to know residents. There's been an effort towards hiring police officers who are not white and women particularly. There's been the chief of police has stepped down and has been replaced in Ferguson. And so I think that there are a lot of changes that have been made.
We're speaking right now with Duri Buscarin. She's a reporter at St. Louis Public Radio, talking about the weekend's events in Ferguson. Yesterday marked 1 year since Michael Brown was killed by a white police officer, sparking demonstrations around the country. And what are people saying? You mentioned these changes in how the police force is working on community-based policing, meeting people, being out there and being part of the community, bringing in women, for instance. Is it making a difference? Is it moving the needle?
It's really hard to measure that, I think. I mean, I spoke with a resident I've gotten to know well, and she said that just recently her sister was stopped in her car for driving a vehicle that she said that the officer said fit the description for someone who had been selling drugs in the area. But it's a pretty common vehicle. And I've also seen that the issue of ticketing, that municipalities in the St. Louis region, very similar to Ferguson and including Ferguson, tend to get a lot of their income from speeding tickets and arrest warrants that tend to build up very quickly and tend to be really expensive for people who don't have the means. And it doesn't seem like that has really slowed down at all.
Now, the demonstrations were by and large peaceful, although last night some violence did break out. What happened last night?
Right. So I was there probably around 10:30, 11 p.m., and around 11:20, the protest had been dying down. It was probably a quarter of the size that it had once been, maybe 50 people, a lot of the media, and then a lot of police officers lined up in riot gear on West Florissant. They had closed down the road after reports of break-ins at some of the stores earlier. And probably about a block away, around that time, just this series of gunfire went off. And it was really hard to tell where it was coming from or what was happening, but it was definitely dozens of shots. And when that started happening, I mean, gunfire has occurred at these protests before, and people just, you know, ducked for cover or ran. And I just remember seeing, like, these kids running in the crowd, and an older woman was next to me. And so that was, I think, really terrifying for a lot of people because it was just so close. It seems like this weekend we've had some violence sort of on the periphery of protests. A couple photographers at the local newspaper here said that they were, robbed, and one was actually, it seemed like he was roughed up by people in the crowd or near the crowd. But the difference with this shooting is that it happened so close. And what happened was it was two groups of people separated from the protest who were shooting at each other. And then a young man, I guess, that police had been following and knew was armed, ran down the street. Four undercover officers followed him. They report that he turned around and shot at them, and so they shot him. And he is, as far the last we've heard, is he was in critical condition at a local hospital.
Now, it sounds like there was some fear when this happened last night, people running. Once it became clear what the situation was, how did protesters react? Did they return to their protesting and still hold on to that threat of peace and hope and optimism that maybe they were trying to go for? Or was there a sense, here we go again?
Yeah, well, that's kind of the fascinating thing about protests, is there are so many different people and so many different personalities and thoughts. And so you see a lot of different things happening in that time. I mean, there were clergy members who, like this little tiny blonde woman who went immediately to the, there was a woman who had collapsed and was just grieving, and apparently it was a family member or a girlfriend, and the reverend went and comforted her and made sure she could get into a car. And there were other protesters sort of trying to calm people down and keep the peace. Others left or had a hard time leaving because they were concerned that it would be unsafe to walk to their cars. Probably about an hour after the shooting, there was sort of a huddle of the remaining protesters, and I would guess there were 30 people. And there was a lot of anger that an officer-involved shooting had happened on the anniversary of the death of Michael Brown.
We heard some chanting during the NPR newscast, "The world is watching." Is there still a sense in Ferguson that there is a mantle of responsibility there, that the world is watching?
Maybe. I mean, if you're in Ferguson, you'll meet reporters from all over the world, and you'll see reports from the BBC and from different, I mean, there's a group of Russian journalists that have been there for a while. And yes, I think that a lot of residents of Ferguson feel that their hometown has been portrayed inaccurately as this kind of haven of violence, and particularly with racial tensions. And a lot of people say, no, this is one of the few diverse communities in the St. Louis region. Yes, there are issues. They didn't realize they were so deep-seated, and now they're kind of coming to terms with it and trying to make Ferguson a better place. I think that there's a lot of residents who are really making an effort to do that.
Dury, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've been speaking with Dury Buscarin, reporter at St. Louis Public Radio, talking about this weekend's events in Ferguson, Missouri. Yesterday marked 1 year since Michael Brown was killed by a white police officer, sparking off demonstrations around the country.